Good evening, everyone. Good evening. This month, we've been going over the topic of what does 9th and Main deserve? What does 9th and Main deserve? Last week, if you remember, we talked about being delivered, right? But tonight, the question is not, are you delivered? The question is, are you determined? Not delivered, but are you determined? Tonight, I've been assigned the specific task of discussing one characteristic that the church deserves every member to have. That characteristic is that the Church of Christ here at 9th and Main and Universal deserves members with a determined zeal to go. Are you zealous? If you would, turn with me to Acts chapter 8, and we'll look at verses 1 through 5. Acts chapter 8, 1 through 5, and we'll draw three quick points from this text. Acts chapter 8, 1 through 5. And if you remember, in the book of Acts, we have Acts chapter 2. Some would like to call it the birth of the church, so to speak. The 3,000 were added. And then immediately the church faced opposition. Truthfully, the church has been facing opposition even before that, but that's a different lesson. Fast forward to Acts chapter 7, we see Stephen. He's preaching and he's killed. He's stoned because they didn't like what he was saying. And that leads us to Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. After reading this, I find three points on how or what we must do to have a determined zeal to go. First, consider verse 1. It says that they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. And then it says, except for the apostles. I found this phrase quite interesting and intriguing. And I don't know where exactly the apostles could have been, their exact pinpoint location. But this verse does tell me this. This verse tells me that the Christians who were scattered, there would have had been some that were not with the apostles. They were scattered abroad, and they didn't necessarily have the apostles' leadership to rely on. Now, I thought about this a little further and thought, we are in the same situation when we leave these walls. When we leave this building, when I leave this building and go home and go to work and go to school, I don't have the elders, I don't have the deacons, I don't have spiritual leaders of this congregation following me around and making sure that I'm doing what I ought to. You see, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, we are told something very, very important. We're told that we're to work out our salvation with two things, fear and trembling. But my dad, my parents, the elders who oversee me, they don't work out my salvation. Whenever I was in high school, I would have liked to think that I'm under my parents' faith. When I got to college, I realized, no, this is my faith, not theirs. Well, how do we work out our salvation with fear and trembling? By not forgetting who is actually leading us. Yeah, we have elders here in the church at 9th and Main, but they are not our ultimate leader. Our ultimate leader is Christ. Matthew 28, verse 18, God gave him all authority, all power, where? On heaven and on earth. That word authority, that word power, the Greek word exousia, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Tried my best. What does it mean? It means the power to rule. Well, how does Christ rule in our lives? Colossians 3:16 says that the word of Christ should dwell in us richly. Now, what does that word do? It rules us. How? Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "The word, your word, God's word, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Essentially, Christ rules us like any good company. Now, hear me out. Any good company has management and leaders. They have the manager, the supervisor, and they have the boss of the company. Managers handle the day-to-day, and leaders are future-looking. God's word, Christ's teaching, guides the day-to-day and leads us to heaven. The first point is that we must take Christ, his teachings, we must take responsibility for our own salvation. This is zeal. Taking what we know about Christ, taking the fact that we have been saved by the blood of Christ, and wearing it on our sleeve, being proud in it, not being ashamed of the gospel. Secondly, look at verse 4, our second point. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. Notice how these Christians took advantage of their situation, a rather bad situation. Stephen, their brother, was just killed. He was murdered for preaching the gospel. From this, we can learn that in order to have a determined zeal to go, we must be able to take advantage of every opportunity God gives us, good or bad. But it's funny I say that, good or bad, because is it really good or bad? Think about Joseph in Genesis 50, verse 20. Joseph, speaking to his brothers, would say, "But as for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." See, the people who were scattered abroad, they weren't thinking this is evil. They were thinking, no, God meant this death of Stephen, this was meant for good. Why was this meant for good? So that God, through the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of his word, could save people spiritually. Think of Philippians chapter 1, 12 through 14. What does Paul say? Paul says all the things that he went through, him being in prison, in jail, writing this epistle, all this was turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Philippians 1, verse 12. But this wasn't just Paul being zealous, right? His zealousness actually affected those who he's writing to. Look at verse 14 of Philippians chapter 1. It says, "And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident in my chains," what does that sound like? That sounds like zeal to me. "Are much more bold," sounds like zeal to me. "To speak the word without fear," sounds like zeal to me. The second point is that we as Christians must view anything and everything we go through in life, whether we think it good or bad, we must take those circumstances and let them grow our zeal. We must use them as opportunities to profess Christ. Lastly, very quick point, and I'll let it speak for itself. Consider verse 5. We switch gears just a tad, and we see Philip still in Samaria. "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them." Brethren, never forget the reason why we should have a determined zeal to go. Christ is the reason why we should have zeal. Remember what Paul would say in Romans chapter 10, verses 2 through 4. He says in verse 2 that these people have a zeal for God, but they're lacking something. It's not according to knowledge. Skip down to verse 4. We see that for Christ, actually, I'm going to read it. Verse 3, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Brethren, very simply, we should have a determined zeal to go because of the knowledge of and deliverance we have in Christ. Maybe you are a part of the body of Christ tonight, and you do not have a determined zeal to go. Maybe that fire has dwindled. Maybe the coals are still hot. Maybe they're cold. If so, I submit to you to examine your life and to ask yourself, am I zealous to go into the world with the word of God to preach Christ and him crucified? If not, why not? On the other hand, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, I encourage you to consider it. to consider the gospel. What is the gospel? It is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. It is the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the witness of Christ's resurrection. How do we obey that gospel? Well, we hear the word of God, Romans 10, 17. We then believe, Hebrews 11, verse 6. We then repent. We change our mind, which leads to a change of actions, Acts 2, verse 38. We must then confess. We say the same thing that God has said, Romans 10, verse 10. Then we are to be baptized, 1 Peter 3, 21, that saves us, that antitype. But it doesn't end there. It's only beginning. We must live faithfully. Romans 8, verse 1. There is now, therefore no condemnation. So the question tonight for those who are a part of the body of Christ is, if you're zealous, keep being zealous. Have that determination to go and preach the word. And if you're not, examine your life and see what's holding you back and remove it. If you're not a part of the body of Christ, we encourage you to consider the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Whatever the case you might be in, whatever need you might have, if you have prayers, if you have any need for the church to pray for you, we're here for you, we'll pray for you, and we love you. Whatever need you might have, please let it be made known as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.